The following is a lecture to Gurukula boys, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 9th, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, I'm very happy to be here today to see this Gurukula going on. All of you are here at the Gurukula. Srila Prabhupada wanted there to be a Gurukula here in Vrindavan. The cornerstone for this building was laid personally by Srila Prabhupada in 1975. So, I'm very, very pleased to see the Gurukula is going on. There's so many bright-faced young boys here today, enthusiastic for chanting Hare Krishna, enthusiastic to hear about Krishna, enthusiastic to be Krishna conscious. This enthusiasm is the most important thing. Enthusiasm means life. It means you're alive. If you're not enthusiastic, you're dead. So this enthusiasm is very important. I can see you're all very enthusiastic boys. It's very good. It's called utsahat in Sanskrit. Utsahat. Prabhupada instructed me about enthusiasm. When I first joined, I was very enthusiastic to make the world Krishna conscious. So I told Prabhupada that. And he said, I can see, he wrote me back, he said, I can see that you are a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. He said, just continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I see all you have very nice enthusiasm. My instruction to every one of you is keep this enthusiasm for your whole life. Don't let anything ever take away your enthusiasm, because Krishna will be very pleased and he will shower his mercy upon you. As Prabhupada told me, continue enthusiastically and surely Krishna will bless you. Do you think Prabhupada's words came true? What do you think? Did Prabhupada's words come true? Yes. So if the same thing will apply to you. If you maintain this enthusiasm for chanting Hare Krishna, for hearing about Krishna, to bow down to Krishna, to hear from Guru, to serve Vaishnavas, to honor Prasadam, to serve Prasadam, etc., 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 the result will be you will have the blessings of Krishna showering upon you throughout your entire life. In the time of death, those same blessings will carry you back to your original identity in the spiritual world. Are you a young boy? No. Not materially speaking. Of course, in the spiritual world you might be. We don't know our actual identities. There's young boys, young girls. Everyone's young. There's young boys, young girls, young calves. Flutes, peacocks, There's so many identities in the spiritual world. So we all have some identity there. But we don't know that, nor can we guess that. We do know one thing for sure, and what is that? I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's right. We know, each one of us knows one thing for sure about our identities. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So if you remain focused on that, this is who I really am, you see. I'm not really the member of a particular family, nor am I a member of a particular nation or a particular race or a particular gender. I am simply the eternal servant of Krishna. Right now I have a body. I've had millions and millions of bodies. This is one of many millions and billions of bodies I've had in millions and billions of lifetimes. You understand these points? Does everybody understand these points? This is not your first identity, to be this young boy here in India. You've had millions of identities in millions of lifetimes. This identity, this particular birth is very fortunate, because in this birth, now you've come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. Now you've come in contact with the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have been blessed with the greatest good fortune by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You have been blessed with the greatest good fortune. So, what should you do with your good fortune? Capitalize on it. Take full advantage of this mercy you've gotten by becoming fully dedicated now that I must become the pure devotee of Krishna. Your desire in life should be one desire and one desire only, that I must become a pure devotee of Krishna. If I ask you what you want to be when you grow up, what will you say? I want to be what? What do you want to be when you grow up? I want, huh? What did he say?
Devotee.
Devotee. What kind of devotee?
Serving Krishna.
Yes, that's right. That's very good. That's our only aspiration. If we focus, I must be a devotee throughout my entire life, then Krishna will, our material arrangements will all be there. Whether I should be a brahmachari, a householder, a sannyasi, whether I should be this or that, those are all external. Whether I should be a computer programmer, a brahmana, a full-time preacher, all those things are external. You see, if you will focus, I must become the pure devotee of Krishna, then everything will come out very easily for you. Your livelihood, whatever you need, as a brahmachari, as a householder, a sannyasi, whatever path you take, you see, that will be revealed to you by Krishna, how to do your life in such a way that your mind is peaceful, that you're happy, you're successful, and you're ultimately successful in going where? Back to home, back to Godhead, not doghead. You don't be a dog in your next life, do you? You see, back to Godhead or back to doghead? You've been a dog, but you know you were a dog in a previous life. Do you know that you were a dog in a previous life? Roof, roof, roof. You were a dog in a previous life. You were a cat also. Meow, meow. You were a cat also. You see. You've been through so many different species. You were a monkey also. You were a monkey also in a previous lifetime. You know that? You were a monkey. You were an alligator. You were an elephant. You were a demigod. You were a germ. You were a worm. You were a worm in stool in a previous lifetime. You've been through so many situations for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions and sextillions and octillions and literally zillions and millions of lifetimes. You have been suffering in this material world. Do you understand these points? Are you sleeping or are you listening? You have been caught up in this cycle of birth and death for zillions of lifetimes. Now you have the most rare opportunity. You have the greatest good fortune, greater than having millions and billions of rupees or euros or dollars. You have now the opportunity to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and go back to home, back to God in this one lifetime. Now it's up to you what you're going to do with it. You've been given the greatest blessing, the greatest opportunity. You can throw it away and become a karmi, a sense enjoyer. You can just throw it away, become a karmi sense enjoyer, trying to enjoy your senses in the material world. You can do that if you want. No one's going to stop you. But if you have the intelligence, if you have the good fortune to be intelligent enough to realize, I've tried being a karmi for millions and billions of lifetimes and I was always miserable by doing that, therefore this lifetime I'm not going to make that mistake. This lifetime I'm going to focus exclusively on serving Krishna. As a brahmachari, a householder, a sannyasi, whatever works out best for me, I'm going to serve Krishna from that position to the best of my ability, 24 hours a day, with my every thought, my every word, and my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. You see. This is intelligence. So the Gurukula means we want to give you intelligence. How do you get intelligence? By submissively hearing from the Vaishnava teachers, by sincerely hearing from the Vaishnava, bona fide Vaishnava gurus, you see, by sincerely hearing submissively and trying to understand, take it into your ears and into your heart. Don't let it go one ear, not the other ear. Pay attention. I want everyone's full attention right now, especially you back there who's not paying attention. I want your attention right now. I want everyone to give me your complete, total, undivided attention. Because by hearing these words, which are the words of Krishna consciousness, you will get sufficient intelligence to learn the art of how to conquer over your senses. Right now, your senses are like wild serpents, and they are devouring you. They are killing your Krishna consciousness. So you have to learn how to conquer over these senses. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam mudaropatta vegam. You see. Mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. You must conquer all of them. If you do, what you be? One who conquers his senses, what is he called? Go. Go what? Goswami. And one who doesn't conquer his senses, he's called Go Das. So who wants to be a Goswami? Raise your hand. And those who don't raise your hands, I assume you want to become Go Dasas. Who wants to be a Goswami? Raise your hand. Let's see all those. Everybody wants to be a Goswami. There's a few Go Dasas out there who doesn't want to become a... Some people don't want to become a Goswami. They want to become a Go Das. All right, now put your hands down. Who wants to become a Go Das? Raise your hand. Who wants to be a Go Das? Okay. All right, then if you want to be a Goswami, you're in the right place. Because who were the original teachers here in Vrindavan? The six Go Swamis. This is their place. This is the place where they studied all the revealed scriptures scrutinizingly, and they extracted the pure essence of the Vedic knowledge right here in this place. Shri Vrindavandam. So now you're here in the place of the Goswamis. So this means you must learn how to become Goswami. Don't be a servant of your senses. Don't give in to chit-chat, gossip, 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 kukakra, kukakra. You know the example of the frog? One who talks nonsense, he's compared to a frog. Do you know how the frog goes in the dark night? Kukakra, 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 kukakra. Who hears that kukakrawing in the dark night? The snake. And what does the snake do when he hears that kakakraw? Boom! He grabs that frog and he swallows him. So if you talk nonsense, my dear boys, you are calling Yamaraj to come and swallow you up. So don't you talk nonsense. When I moved into the ashram in Austin, Texas, back in 1971, there was a rule on the wall, no relative conversations allowed. You could only talk about Krishna. So how much of you can study your own day, how much of my time do I spend talking about Krishna, and how much time do I spend talking about nonsense? If you're talking nonsense, every time you talk nonsense, you're inviting Yamaraj to come and whoop, grab you up and take you to, and you're actually inviting the Yamadutas to come and grab you and rip you out of your body and take you to Yamaraj. So don't talk nonsense. Talk about Krishna. You know that verse? Who knows that verse? Very nice verse. 10:9 Bhagavad Gita. Machchita mangata prana bodhyantak parasparam katayantashchamam nityam tashyanticha ramanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. They engage themselves talking about me and become in this way transcendentally enlivened. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered fully unto me, and they derive great bliss and satisfaction by always conversing about me. So try to talk about Krishna. When you get up in the morning, talk about Krishna. Say, my dear Gurukula friend, do you know how wonderful is Krishna? Do you know how wonderful is Krishna? No, we cannot know how wonderful. He's so wonderful we can't even fully grasp his wonders. But we know one thing about Krishna, and that is he is simply wonderful. You ever had a simply wonderful, one of those sweets? Who's had a simply wonderful? Yes, aren't they simply wonderful? Yes, simply wonderfuls are simply wonderful, aren't they? So Krishna is the supreme simply wonderful. So if you will hear about Krishna and talk about Krishna, it's like popping a sweet. Every time you hear about Krishna, talking about Krishna, it's like popping a sweet in your mouth. But now you're popping the sweets in your ears, you see. Popping sweets in your ears. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's popping sweets in your ears, you see. Now you can only eat so many simply wonderfuls and then you'll get sick, you see. I remember when he first joined, one boy, he ate 20 Simply Wonderfuls. He thought they were so good, he had about 25 of them. We cannot eat so many Simply Wonderfuls through the belly, you see. But through the ears, you can have unlimited Simply Wonderfuls. Krishna's Simply Wonderful name, Krishna's Simply Wonderful fame, Krishna's Simply Wonderful devotees, Krishna's Simply Wonderful teachings, Krishna's Simply Wonderful holy dham, Krishna's simply wonderful pastimes, unlimitedly, on and on and on, ad infinitum. So now I'd like to ask if any of you have any simply wonderful questions, any questions about Krishna or Krishna consciousness, I'll be delighted to hear your question. Who's going to be the first to ask a question? Over here, okay. Yeah, why don't you write them down, because I can, that'd be good, yeah. Whoever wants to ask a question, raise your hand and they'll give you a piece of paper to write the question down. Who? Raise your hand if you want to ask a question. Whoever asks the question is going to get special mercy from Krishna. You want special mercy from Krishna? Then you ask a question. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why is that called the Maha Mantra? because it is not an ordinary mantra. That's why it's called Maha Mantra. I see many boys now writing questions. I'm very pleased with you. Anybody who writes a question, I'm praying that Krishna gives them special blessings today. So let's see if the first question is coming. More questions are coming. That's very good. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You can even ask controversial questions if you want. This is your chance. And no one will know who asked the question also. You get to be anonymous. Okay, here's the first question. We get this body because we did pious things in our previous life. How are they related to us? How could we do pious things in the body of an animal or a germ? There is a natural progression. Previously, you were a human being who engaged in sinful activities. Therefore, due to your sinful activities, you were forced to go down for punishment in the lower species. There is no sin that you commit in the lower species. In the lower species, all you're doing is burning off the sins you created when you were a human being in a previous life. When those sins have been sufficiently burned off, then you come again to the human form to again get a chance to become Krishna conscious. So it's not necessarily that you did pious activities to get your human body. It's simply a matter of burning off the sinful reactions in the lower species, and now you're sufficiently purified by that burning off that now again you can have a chance to be a human. Some saints say that they have gone to the moon, but Prabhupada said that they have not gone to the moon, which is true. Prabhupada said, sometimes Prabhupada said we went to the moon, sometimes he said we didn't go to the moon. Prabhupada actually said both things. The thing is, if they did go to the moon, they didn't actually enter the moon civilization. That's a fact. We know they did not enter the moon civilization. It is a heavenly planet, actually. So even if they physically went to the moon planet, they weren't even able to see the moon civilization. It was beyond, too subtle for them to even see it. The moon beings are almost invisible to earthly eyes. That civilization is almost invisible to earthly eyes. So even if they did go to the moon, they didn't enter the moon civilization. Now whether they actually went or not, that's debatable. But if they did go, they certainly did not actually, they were not given access to actually enter into the civilization of the moon. It's kind of like if somebody enters a country. One devotee one time, they went to a country, but they didn't have a visa. They landed in the airport, but they couldn't clear customs. They had to go into detention. And then they had to go back to their country. So they didn't, because even if they went to the moon, they didn't have a visa to enter the civilization of the moon. They remained in a detention area until they came back to the earth. A desolate detention area. Krishna is the... Let's see. When I am studying math or physics, I'm not actually speaking about Krishna. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Well, you should think that this mathematical system, it is all within the energy of Krishna. These physical laws that I'm studying, like the law of gravity, you're studying physics, the law of gravity, right? Well, what is the law of gravity? It's called Sankarshan. You know that? In the physics class, you should understand the law of gravity is sankarshan. Sankarshan means one who attracts all living beings. So gravity attracts everything. Everything is attracted by gravity, therefore it's called sankarshan. So you should understand, when you study your math and your physics, you should always try to see it in relation with Krishna. Krishna is like the number one. What does the number one indicate? What does the number one stand for? Krishna. Because Krishna is number one. Whenever you see the number one, you should think, ah, Krishna. And when you see the number two, what you should think? Radha and Krishna. You see? When you see the number three, what you should think? The three modes of material nature. And when you see the number four, what you should think? The four different kinds of prasadam. You see? You see the number five, what you should think of? The pancha tattva. You see the number six, what you should think? The six Goswamis. In this way, you can be Krishna conscious while you're doing mathematics. The number seven is there, the number eight, the Ashtashakis. You see? And if I want to become a pure devotee, where is the need to go to the school? Well, you have to go to school to learn how to become a pure devotee. The most important school of all is the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That's the ultimate school, to become a disciple of the bona fide guru. That's the ultimate school. So, in the material life, Prabhupada wanted that the boys should learn the material subject matters, history, geography, etc. But most importantly, they should learn how to become Krishna conscious. To function in this world, a little material knowledge is good. But not that there is no spiritual knowledge, you see. The Isha Upanishad states, Vidyam cha vidyam nyashtad vedo bayam saha avidyayavaram dita vidyaramita narshnite. Only one who understands nescience and transcendence side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and achieve the full blessings of immortality. So you're studying some avidya here, along with vidya. Vidyam cha vidyam. Material knowledge and spiritual knowledge both. You see? That's the Ishapanishad mantra. You study both of them. But the most important thing is to study the spiritual knowledge. Okay. In Gurukula, we associate with different kinds of boys how to discriminate who is our good friend and who is not. Whoever reminds you of Krishna, he is your very best friend. You should see amongst all these boys, who reminds me of Krishna the most, he is your best friend. If some boy always talks nonsense, he's not very Krishna conscious, he's not your best friend. But you should be his best friend by helping him to become Krishna conscious. In the Bhagavatam it is said that if we go back to Godhead, we will never return. But it also is said that if we commit sins, any offense, we will again return to this material world. It was already said if we go back to Godhead, we will never return. How is this position? It's due to our offensive mentality of being envious of the Lord that we came to this material world. That's a fact. If you learn from the bona fide scriptures, the bona fide Vaishnavas, and the bona fide spiritual master, how to become pure in your heart, to become free of offenses, you will go back to the spiritual world, and having learned your lesson, you will not make the mistake again of being offensive and taking birth again. There's a saying in English, once burned, twice shy. A little child may be attracted by the fire in the stove. Even though his mother said, "My little boy, do not put your hand in, don't put your pen in your mouth, it's muchi. Mouth is muchi. Never put anything in your mouth except for prasadam. And then you wash your hands." So, the child may put his hand in the fire once, being ignorant. But once he does that, he's not going to do it again. So we made the mistake. We played with fire that I want to be like Krishna. So he gave us a chance to try to imitate him in the material world because we wanted that. And now we're suffering in his separation. Once having made that mistake and going back to him, we will not stick our hand in the fire again. The Bhagavad Gita says Krishna is Bhagavan. Is Bhagavad Gita true? I like that question. It's a very basic question. Is the Bhagavad Gita true or is it false? Well, I could tell you it's true, but how do you know it's real? I'm not lying, you see? I could say, "Oh yes, students, the Bhagavad Gita is true," but I could be lying to you. How can you factually know for sure the Bhagavad Gita is true? One could ask. Is it just a Hindu belief? Is it true or not? Well, how do you really know? Can you scientifically prove that it's true? Yes, you can. Just like if the teacher tells you H2O equals water. Did they tell you that? You studied chemistry here? Chemistry? Yeah. Did they tell you H2O equals what?
Water.
Okay, they train you. Okay. I was told that in high school, and then the teacher took us to the lab, and we did it with a test tube. I took two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen, and what did I get in my test tube? Water. That's right. So I scientifically proved in the test tube by my own experiment that the knowledge given in the classroom was true. So we are giving you the knowledge in the classroom that Bhagavad Gita is true. Now you have to take the test tube of your own consciousness. And you have to throw in some bhakti. Is it? Put some bhakti in your test tube of your consciousness. And when you do that, you will personally realize Krishna. You will actually, if you do the experiment properly, according to Prabhupada's exact instructions, you will personally see Krishna. You will meet him face to face. And then you will know, yes, Bhagavad Gita is true. Because you met Krishna directly. Just as Arjuna was able to see Krishna, you will be able to personally see Krishna. And then you'll, oh yes, this is true. Which subject is closest to Lord Krishna and why? Of all the subjects we study, mathematics, history, geography, geometry, astrophysics, basket weaving, whatever you may take, the closest subject matter to Krishna is called Vedic wisdom. Vedic wisdom is the closest subject to Krishna. Because Krishna says, Vedaishitar Harvam Eva Vejo Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Did anyone go on the moon? Well, there's many people on the moon. There's a whole civilization up there. Chandra is the predominating demigod. There's a huge civilization on the moon going on right now. They don't have air pollution. They don't have water pollution. They don't have all this crime going on. It's a great place. You ever been there? You were, yes. You were a moon being at one time. You remember when you were a moon being? You know, no, we forgot. We were all moon beings at one time, living on the moon, having a great time, drinking all kinds of wonderful beverages and it was a wonderful place, but then we exhausted our pious karma and we came back down. So the only way to really go to the moon is by becoming qualified by pious activities. Of course, we're not interested in going to the moon because it's also a material place. But yes, there's so many people on the moon who went there by pious activities. And now they're living there, enjoying like anything in the heavenly planet. If the moon, then what is the proof that they did not go to the moon? NASA says that their members went to the moon, such as Neil Armstrong. The moon is a heavenly planet, so to which planet did they go? Let's just assume, for the sake of argument, that they did actually land on the moon. But what did you see in the photographs? You just saw a desert. That means even if they went to the moon, they did not enter the moon civilization. They couldn't even see it. Either it was invisible or they were diverted by the powerful moon beings to a desolate area outside of the civilized area. Just like here on this planet, we have the Sahara Desert. If somebody comes from a lower planet to check out the Earth and they go to the Sahara Desert, what will be their conclusion? The whole place is a desert. You see? So let's assume, for the sake of argument, they did go to the moon, but they did not enter the moon civilization. That we know for a fact. Who are devotees? Devotees are those who are devoted to Krishna or God. What is the real meaning of bhakti? To be devoted to Krishna or God. As you told about taking advantage of the opportunity that we have got, so we must do austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. What type of austerity must we do? You must engage your tongue in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and only eating Krishna prasadam. Don't eat any bogus nonsense food like meat, fish, eggs, onions, garlic, or anything that has not been offered to Krishna. You should, in other words, from your mouth, only Krishna should come out, Hare Krishna, Krishna Kata, and only Krishna should go in. You see? For a materialist, it's garbage in and garbage out. For a devotee, it's Krishna in and Krishna out of the mouth. That's the secret of how to become a devotee. That's the austerity you have to do. Only Krishna in and only Krishna out of the mouth. If we are doing bhakti only in 1% in our life, do we get the human body or do an animal body? If you're only 1% Krishna conscious, what are the chances of you going back to Godhead? Very slim. If you're only 1% Krishna conscious, you could be an animal in your next life. But look what happened to Maharaj Bharat. He became an animal in his next life. So, therefore, you should strive to be 100% Krishna conscious. 100%. So, maybe you don't make it to 100%. But if you think, well, if 1% is enough, I'll just try for 1%. That's a very weak position. But if you strive for 100%, and then you only get 95%, just like you take a test. What's your grading system? A, B, C, D? Point system? Mark? 100%? So what's considered a good mark? Excellent marks?
More than 90.
Okay. If you're more than 90 degrees, it's an excellent mark. Okay? 90%. So just like if you want to do well on your exam, you strive for 100%, you get 91%, you're still considered an excellent student even though you did 91%. So therefore, in your Krishna consciousness, you should strive for 100% pure bhakti. And then if you only get 91% pure bhakti, you're still in a very good position. You understand? Strive for pure bhakti just like you strive for 100% on the exam. Okay, this will be the last question. Any more? All right. Anyone who's writing a question now, you can do that, but don't write any more because our time's almost up. Now I'm trying to read this one here. Dev, Adi Dev Krishna is the avatar of Dev Vishnu. And why do we give more importance to Sri Krishna? Read that, okay. Since Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, the question is, why do we give more importance to Krishna than to Vishnu? Well, who is the Vishnu of which Krishna is an avatar? One could ask. In the Brahma Samhita, it's stated that Krishna is manifested by Govinda. In other words, he's self-manifested. So yes, Krishna does come from Vishnu, but which Vishnu does he come from? He comes from the original form of Vishnu, which is Krishna. So Krishna is coming from Vishnu, that's a fact. But which Vishnu does he come from? Which Vishnu does he come from? He comes from the original Vishnu who was called Krishna. So we are Vaishnavas, we are devotees of Vishnu, that's a fact. But Vishnu is the original form of Vishnu is Krishna, therefore Krishna is the origin of every Vishnu incarnation, including himself. Someone would say that I believe in the Gita, it's also the story which is written by someone unknown. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is not unknown. We know exactly it was Bhagavad Gita is words composed by Krishna himself. The author of the Gita is Krishna. The words of the Gita are authored by Krishna himself. They're coming out of his lotus mouth. And Srila Vyasadeva was able to perfectly remember every syllable that was uttered. He dictated it to Ganesh, who wrote it down. So it's a very authoritative book. Okay, now here's the last question. If you offer prasadam without tulsi leaf, will Krishna accept it? If tulsis are available in your area and you're not using it, Krishna will not accept. If you're in an emergency situation, there are no tulsis, then Krishna will accept because you tried your best but there was none available. But if tulsis are there and you're not utilizing them, Krishna will not accept. What is the meaning of Bhagavan? Bhaga means opulences and van means the possessor of. So Bhagavan means the possessor of opulences. What are the opulences? Power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. You got it. So that person who possesses such a great quantity of power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame that nobody can equal him or excel him in any one of these six opulences, that person is Bhagavan. And he's known by the name of Krishna, the all-attractive one. So I thank you boys very much. Yes? Something else? Oh yes, if you have an access to the internet, you'd like to get on my free e-course, I'd be delighted to have you sign up today on my e-course. You go to www.backtohome.com, backtohome.com, www.backtohome.com. If you go there and sign up, you get something every day from me in your email, and you can also personally ask me questions whenever you like.